We're holding on Chaf Vav Amud Beis, the third line from the bottom. We've been discussing the question of what is our Mishnah had given examples where a person made a neder and then realized afterwards that he shouldn't have made the neder, including a certain person. So we had, for example, he sees a bunch of people in the distance eating his figs, and he calls out that the figs are also to them, and then he realizes that among them are his father or his brothers. So we had a machlokes b'shamay b'shilul about that, whether everybody else becomes mutter or only his father and his brothers. And that led us into a machlokes between Rabba and Rava. What is the case where we say that in fact, that Beis Hillel would allow it, and Rabbi Akiva, we said also, who bears on this also, and whatnot. We had Rabba saying that, if the person changed the actual nusach that he said, so first he said, for example, all of you are usur, and now he says, you know what, I would have instead said, you and you are usur. Then that would work, because again, then there was a mistaken understanding in the first place, and he actually changed the wording that he used, but Rabba would say that if he kept the same lashon and just said that I would still say all of you except for my father, then all of them remain also except for his father. And then we had Rabba's understanding that it's not a matter of whether we changed his wording or not. It's a matter of do we have one of these cases of tfois loshen rishon or tfois loshen achron, do we have a first loshen and a second loshen? So if he says all of you except for Pliny, then Beis Shammai will say that we focus on the all of you, and Beis Hillel is going to say that we focus on the except for Pliny, and then once that one's canceled, then the rest of them are canceled as well. So we've been going through discussing Rabba's and Rava's opinions and various attempted proofs one way or the other. So here's another. So the bottom of Chavav and Beis. Eisvei Ravina l'Rava. So Ravina says to Rava, I have another contradiction against you. A Braita says, Rav Nosson Omer, Yesh Neder Shemaktsase Mutter Umaktsase Osir. There can be a case of a Neder where part of it becomes Mutter and part of it remains Osir. And when we say over here, part of it becomes Mutter, the Ran explains it would mean, again, that part would be Mutter even without doing Ataras Nedarim. Because that particular thing he never meant to include in his neder. Ketzad, what do we mean? Neder min ha'kol. Suppose a person made a neder that he's not going to eat any of the fruit in this basket. Any of the figs, let's say, in this basket. In that basket, there are, among the figs, there are b'nois shuach. The Mefarish over here says that another name for them is b'nois sheva. Now you have different, now the Rosh explains that they are good quality figs. There are a number of places in Shas where it mentions this type of figs called Bnois Shuach. And in fact, there's a number of places in Shas where Tosfos discusses the question, are those really good quality figs or are they really bad quality figs? There are some Gemaras that seem to imply one and some the other. So one possibility is, in fact, Tosfos mentions in those places, there may actually be two different types, one called Bnois Sheva, which are good, and one called Bnois Shuach, which are bad. Which might explain why the Mefarish over here is saying Bnois Shuach or Bnois Sheva. He might be saying that there are two different Girsois over here. Or are we talking about that these figs are really good, or are we talking about that they're really bad? In any case, the point is there were these Bnois Shuach in the basket. But Omar, so he says, Ilu Hayisi Adesh, Bnois Shuach Besoicha, if I had known that there were Bnois Shuach in the basket, Loi Hayisi Noider, I wouldn't have made the nether. Now, if we say, the Pashvasi means I wouldn't have made the neder to include the Bnois Shuach. So if we say that the Bnois Shuach are really good figs, then he means they're really good. I wouldn't have wanted to deprive myself of those. Regular, plain old figs, I wouldn't have minded, but the Bnois Shuach, I wouldn't have wanted to deprive myself of. According to the other possibility that Bnois Shuach are bad quality figs, then the Ritva explains that on the contrary, he's saying I wouldn't have even bothered making a neder about those because I wasn't going to eat them anyway. In any case, the point is he's saying that I wouldn't have included Bnois Shuach in my neder. Loi ha'yisi noider, I wouldn't have made the neder. So then Reb Nosson says, Hakakola Asura, so the original understanding of the halacha was that the rest of the figs in the basket remain asur, Bnois Shuach mutaris, but the Bnois Shuach are mutter. because he never meant to include them in his neder in the first place. Ad shabara Akiva v'limid, until Rav Akiva came along and taught, like he did in earlier such cases, neder shahuta mitzasai huta kulay, that when a neder has been partially permitted, then the whole thing is permitted. So now, if the Bnos Shuach are allowed, and everybody agrees to that, then Rav Akiva would say that that extends to the rest of the figs in the basket. Rav Akiva, My love, so shouldn't we assume that the case is the Omar, where he says, Ilu ha-yisi adesh b'nos shuach b'soicha, if I had known that there were b'nos shuach in this basket, then I would have said specifically, I would have listed out the different kinds of figs. I would have said the black figs and the white figs are osur, but the b'nos shuach in the basket are mutter. And Rav Akiva is saying that all of them are mutter, or pligu rabbanon, and we see that the chachamim disagree and say that the rest of them are osur. So now, according to Rava said earlier in the sugya, which we learned yesterday, that even the Chachamim would agree that if he said specifically this and this are osur and this are osur and this one is mutter, then all of them are mutter. Then all of them are going to be mutter. Rava had said. So that's the thing. Rava had said that if he says, if I had known, to begin with, he said all of you. To begin with, starting out with the case in the Mishnah where he said all of you are, the figs are also to all of you. Then he comes closer and Rava says, he sees that his father is among them. He says, if I had seen, I would have said Ploni and Ploni are also, and my father is mutter, then everybody would agree with Kulam Mutarim. The Machloikas, Rava had said, is only when he says Kulchem Chutz, he says all of you except, where then we have Lashon Rishon or Lashon Achron. We have the beginning of his Lashon or the end of his Lashon. So here, according to Rava, everybody ought to agree that all the figs would be mutter. Because to begin with, he said the whole basket. He obviously didn't mean to include the Bnos Shuach. Now when he says, I would have said this and this are also and this are mutter, but there's no Lashon Rishon and Lashon Achron for Beis Shammai to key off of and to say, well, we have to go according to his Lashon Rishon. The fact is, his original neder was based on a mistake because there were Bnos Shuach in there. And his later neder, he says, I would have said that. He doesn't actually say a new neder to that effect. So according to Rava, why would there have been a machloikas? Why does Rabbi Akiva need to be machadish to us that it's all mutter? Tosfos, by the way, brings up an interesting point. When we learned, we had yesterday in the Gemara a case involving onions, where a person said, onions are also to me because koinam, that the onions are koinam to me because they're bad for the heart. And people tell him, you should know there's a type of onions called kufri onions that are good for your heart. And he says, in that case, I would have said my neder differently. There, the Gemara assumed that he was saying that the Gemara started with the assumption that he would have said I all the onions except for kufri, and then the Gemara says that no, we could answer that he's talking about where he says specifically this and this onion are also to me, and the kufri is mutter. So why is it over there? Tosfos asks it. Why is it over there? We started with the assumption that when he changes his mind, he's still using the same expression, all the onions, and he's just accepting kufri onions, whereas over here, we're starting with the assumption that he's mentioning all the figs individually. Tosfos answers because over there, when he said onions, the word onions by itself implies all kinds of onions. On the other hand, to begin with, when he said over here that I'm not going to eat the kalkola itself means a basket. He's obviously not eating the basket itself. It's made out of straw or what have you. It's not edible. So obviously he meant the contents of the basket. So therefore the Gemara assumes it's much more logical that he would be saying to begin with that, not to begin with, but once he corrects himself, once he realizes there's Bnos Shuach in the basket, that rather than saying all of the basket except for such and such, where anyway he wouldn't be eating the basket itself, it's more logical to assume that he would have mentioned the individual kinds of figs that are in the basket. Anyway, the point is, again, according to Rava, why would the Chachamim be saying that everything except for the Bnos Shuach is osur, and Rabbi Akiva has to tell us that all of them are mutter? According to Rava's understanding of things, it should be mutter according to everybody. According to him, everybody agrees that in a case like that, there's no neder. And the answer is loy, but you see it, yes, so no, you have to say it. One to Rava, the case is that he's saying, if I had known that there were no shruach in the basket, I would have said the whole basket is also but the b'no shruach amutter, which that is the case where Rava says, Rabbi Shama and the Hillel argue, and in turn Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim argue, whether we say we go according to his first lashon, or whether we go according to his last lashon. Therefore, in other words, is there a neder? Does the chutz mibnei shruach affect the whole rest of the neder, or does it not? Does it only affect the one thing that he said? So the chachamim would have been saying like Beis Shammai, or to be exact, they would have been saying that there was no machloikus. They would say Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel both hold this way, and Rabbi Akiva comes and teaches differently. So it's still no question against Rava. So yes, we are going in the opposite, as Tosfos is saying, we're going with the opposite logic as we would with the onions. With the onions, we started by assuming that he says collectively all the onions except for Kufri, and then we say, if one's a robber, we would have to say that he mentions the specific ones. Here it's the other way around. So actually, we said that was according to the mayor. According to Rava, that Bryce would be only according to the Chachamim. It couldn't go according to Rabbi Akiva, and according to Rabbi, it could go according to everybody. Anyway, over here, though, we're starting from the opposite possibility, that first we assume that he said, that he mentioned the specific types of figs, and then we're saying, according to Rava, no, we'll have to understand that it means that he's saying all the figs except for this one. Okay, so no proof against Rava from this Bryce. So the Gemara says, Man tonu l'ha de tonu rabbanan. Who is the author of the following braisa that we learned? And by the way, worth mentioning, and there's a cute little story in this connection, this is the only place in this entire Masechta where we have the words tonu rabbanan. And we don't even have it. Usually in the rest of Shas, we'll have tonu rabbanan at the beginning of a discussion. We'll start with quoting a braisa, the tonu rabbanan, and then we'll discuss it. Here we have it in the middle of a sentence even. Who is the one who taught this braisa of the Chachamim? So they tell a story in this connection that in the Mir Yeshiva back in the day, the Rosh Yeshiva over there was named Reb Nachum Pertzovitz. He was Nifter in the late 80s. So one time he walks into the Beis Medrash over there, and there were a couple of the Masechta that were supposed to be learning that year was Nedarim, and he walked in, and there were a couple of Bacharim that until then had been goofing around. They hadn't been learning like they're supposed to. So now when they see the Rosh Hashiva starting to walk over, so one of them starts pretending, starts pretending like he's been learning the whole time. Tanu Rabbanan. And Reb Nachum walks over to him and says, there's no Tanu Rabbanan in all of the Nedarim. So in other words, it was busted. So then the story continues, actually. They told it over to the Chaim Kanievsky, the famous Gaon. So he starts mentally reviewing the whole Masechta in his head. And finally he says, actually, there is the one Tanu Rabbanan, this one over here on Daf Chav Zayin. So then the story finishes off. They told another one of the Gdolei Yisrael of that time, Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman. They told him how impressive that is. Rabbi Chaim knows the entire Shas about Pe like that. He can review it in his mind that quickly. And Rabbi Aaron Leib said to them, I want you to think of something. Imagine you go to a storekeeper and you ask him, where is such and such on your shelves? He's going to know it right away because it's his business. He makes sure to know where everything in the store is. The same way, this is Rabbi Chaim's business. So yes, he makes sure to know where everything is exactly. And this is the kind of very high level Torah learning that we should all at least aspire to to the tiniest semblance of it, that Torah should mean that much to us, that we have it, that we keep it straight in our heads. Anyway, going back to the Gemara, Man Tana Laha de Tana Nabanan, who is the author of the following Braisa? Neder Mechamisha B'nei Adam. If a person made a neder that he's not going to have Hana from any of five different people, Ke'echod, so if he made the neder, he made the neder all at once. In other words, all at once, he had the group of five people there and said, I'm not going to have hana from any of them. So chuta l'echad mehem. If later on he's able to be matir neder regarding one of them, so he goes to a beis din and they point out, did you realize that within that group, the one of the people in that group, that if you don't have hana from him, then there's going to be such and such consequences which you didn't think of, and we're matir neder on that basis. Chutu kulan, then all of them become mutter. But chutz me'echad mehem, but if the neder to begin with was that he's not going to have hana from any of these five from any of this group with the exception of one of them who mutter vehein asurin, then we would say that one person he's still mutter to have hana from, but the other one he is also. So who is the author of this braisa? So we had so far Bishamai Bishilo, we had Rabbi Akiva and Mahachamim disagreeing within what Bishamai and Bishilo held. How would we understand this braisa according to Rabba's understanding, and how would we understand it according to Rabba's understanding? So the Gemara says, Ila Rabba, if you're going to say that the braisa, if we're going to understand it the way Rabba understands it, we would say Reisha Rabbi Akiva the Sefer Divrei Hakel. The Reisha, the first case where he said everyone, and then he was matir neder for one of them, would be appointed Rabbi Akiva. The Chachamim would disagree, because after all, let's consider, in the Reisha, now, let's consider. So the Gemara's understanding that when he made the original neder, he said kulchem asurim, and then the first case would be that now he says, you know what, I wouldn't have said kulchem asurim, I would have said of these five people, you, and you are osur, and this one is mutter. So therefore, when he's matter one of them, he's matter all of them. According to Rabba, only Rabbi Akiva would hold that way. According to Rabba, it wouldn't work. According to Rabba, that wouldn't be necessary to say it's only according to Rabbi Akiva, as we're going to say in a second. But according to Rabba, since he changed his wording. Then Rabba would say that part is only according to Rabbi Akiva, because that's how Rabba learned. But if he says if I had known my father was there, I would have said plenty asurin ba'aba mutter. That is where Rabba says is the machlokes, and so therefore only Rabbi Akiva would learn that way. The sefer divrei hakel. Whereas Rabba would say the sefer, we could go according to everybody, because the sefer we're talking about, that he's saying, I would have said all of you are also except for Pliny, because to begin with, he said, I'm making the neder chutz me'echad mehen, except for one of them, according to Rabba, there's no machlokes in that case, and everybody agrees that in that case, once he's matu one of them, that once he's matu that one, then all of them are mutter. According to Rabba, both Bishama and Bishilo hold that way. So therefore, according to Rabba, the beginning of the Braisa, the first case of the Braisa would be only according to Rabbi Akiva. The Sefer would be according to both Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. The Ila Rabba, if you're talking according to Rabba, Sefer Rabbanan Bereshit Divrei Hakel, he would say that the Sefer can only be according to the Rabbanon, because according to Rabbi Akiva, it ought to be mutter even in the Sefer, because Rabbi Akiva would say, neder shehutah mitzase hutah koloi, and once he says, chutz me'echad mehen, we would say, tfois loshen achron, we would say, we go according to the last part of what he said, and therefore he's mutter not only in that one, but in all of them. The Reisha, divrei hakel, meanwhile, he would say that the Reisha goes according to everybody, because according to Rava, in the beginning, in the Reisha, when he said to begin with, you, and you are also, and you are not, then according to Rava, since there's no Loshen Rishon, Loshen Achron there in the first place, then according to him, once one of them is mutter, all of them are mutter, so therefore, according to Rava, the beginning of this Braisa would go according to everybody. So in short, what we just said is that according to Rava, the first part of our braisa would be only according to Rabbi Akiva. According to Rava, it would be according to both Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. The Sefer, Rava would say, is according to everybody, and according to Rava, the Sefer is only according to the Rabbanan. So as we talked yesterday, the Ran talks over here in some detail who the halacha is like over here. Obviously, in a machlokas b'shamay b'shilo, obviously the halacha is going to be like b'shilo. Since Rabbi Akiva is explaining to us according to Beis Hillel, like we said yesterday, Rabbi Akiva is not giving us a third opinion against both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. He's clarifying for us what Beis Shammai and what Beis Hillel hold, then therefore the halacha is going to be like him. What about this matter of Rabba and Rabba? So as we said yesterday, the Ran brings, since, on the one hand, we could argue Rabba was Rava's Rebbe, therefore the halacha ought to be like him. On the other hand, from the time of Rava and onward, from the time of Abaya and Rava and onward, we have the rule, halacha kebasra, that the halacha is like the later opinion. because in Rava and Abaya's times, they started assembling shas into eventually what would become the shas that we're familiar with. Therefore, from that time and onward, the Chachamim were more familiar with what their predecessors had said. So you could go either way. So the Rambam says, and brings from the Rambam, that since we have to go to Chumra, because after all, we are talking about matters in the Dorim, and you have to be machmer in them, so therefore, because we can't be sure whether the halacha is like Rava or like Rabba, therefore the halacha ends up being like Rabba. And then he goes on to discuss in some detail about this whole matter of Mamid, where he's confirming what he said before, versus, for example, if there's no mamid and he just went and asked about one of them, then we would say hutru kulam. And he discusses when exactly do we say neder shehutru mktsase hutru kulay? He discusses. He also discusses there are rishonim who learn. He says that maybe it would be different if harata. He goes on to say, he brings from the Ramban, that when would we say neder shehutra mktsase hutra kulay, only if we're talking about that he used a pesach. As we learned earlier in the Perek, you can cancel a neder using pesach or using charata. The argument is, he brings from the Ramban, that if the person had charata, maybe we wouldn't say that. Maybe we would say that the charata only applies to the particular part that he wants to be matir and not to the rest of it. And then the Ran himself discusses that and says maybe not. He brings from Tosfos that maybe either way it would work and you matter the whole thing. So there is a good deal of discussion about this among the Rishonim about the ins and outs of these dinim of neder shehutra mktsase hutra kulay. Bez Hashem, we'll take up more of it in later in the Masechta when we learn about the dinim of Ataras Nedarim. We may get more into the details of it then. Okay. Mishnah says, Nidrei Oinsin, the fourth category of Nidorim that we said at the beginning of the Perek, Nidrei Oinsin, where the person made a neder, but then an oinus prevented him from fulfilling it. So what does that mean? For example, Hidirei Chaveiro Shiyoichal Etzloi, suppose that his friend put him under a neder that he should eat by him. Now, we talked about the other day, we had Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in an earlier Mishnah, saying that such a thing could be considered nidrei zeruzin. We talked about where Reuven wants Shimon to eat by him, and he tells him, if you don't come and eat by me, then you're going to be also in my nechassim. So that would be nidrei zeruzin. That wouldn't. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, when we discussed, do the Chachamim disagree with him or not? We end up passing him on Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov anyway. That such a thing would be considered nidrei zeruzin because he's not sincerely meaning to ask the other guy in his nechassim. Rather, he wants to encourage him to actually come through with it. So we learned in connection with that the other day, the Ran explained that our Mishnah, therefore, would have to be talking about where, and we've actually learned that in the Gemara, that it would have to be where Shimon himself wants to be able to accept Reuven's invitation because that'll get him out of eating by somebody else who he doesn't want to eat by so much. There are various people who are inviting Shimon to eat by them. So Shimon wants to be able to have a built-in excuse to tell all the other ones, I'm sorry, I can't. So he asks Reuven to put him under a neder that he will be also in Reuven Nechazdim if he doesn't eat by him. And now he has a built-in excuse for everybody else.
Even though they're officially not supposed to make
consent. Yeah, so we're not supposed to make the Nedarim, right. But so we're not saying that he should be doing this, but the fact is, if he did it, then we have to talk about the din. So now, again, we can't call that nidrei zeruzin, but on the other hand, we can have the case of our Mishnah where the neder is a valid neder, but then an oinus happened that prevented him from making it to the, that prevented him from being able to come to the party. We talked about there the other day also, the Rosh had explained somewhat differently that what we're talking about is there's a, and actually we saw it in the Gemara over there as well, that there's a difference between whether we're saying that Shimon should be also in Reuven Nechassim, or the other way around, that Reuven is saying, I will be also in your Nechassim. Where then we have arguments to be made over there. We said, I don't want to be like a dog where you're doing so much for me and I'm not doing back for you. Or the other way around, I don't want to be like a king where you're doing everything for me and I'm not there. Or the other way around, where I'm doing everything for you and you're not reciprocating. We had that whole point. In any case, the point is, in our Mishnah, So we're talking, so it is superficially similar to that previous case that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov had said, but you have this key difference of either, according to the Ran, who is it that initiated the neder? In that case over there, it was Reuven himself, the one who's inviting Shimon, who made the neder. Here it's that Shimon asks Reuven to make the neder. Or is it that Reuven is making the neder, that I will be also in you versus that you will be also in me?
And that changes.
So that changes the difference, whether it's nidre zigruzin or whether it's a true neder. Anyway, what happens is, v'cholahu, then what happened is, Shimon became sick, or his son became sick, or the river prevented him from crossing, and the river prevented him from crossing, by the way, now we're going to see in the Gemara, we're going to talk about the matter of a ferry. So here, the Rosh explains that we don't mean that he couldn't cross because the ferry wasn't available. That's not considered such a big onus. What we mean is that the river was swollen much larger than normal because the snow melt or whatever it is, and therefore he couldn't cross it. Like this, he could have usually crossed it. He could have usually crossed it in the usual way. Now he's not able to because the river is much bigger than normal. Anyway. So those kinds of things, such things are considered nidre oinsin, meaning, in other words, therefore he's not after all also in the other guy. So whichever one it is that made the neder is not also in the other ones in the chassid. Because, so neder is batla. We said at the beginning of the parak then, Rav Asi had said you'd still need to do acharas nedarim on it, and Shmuel had said you wouldn't, and the halacha is like Shmuel. So you wouldn't need to be matir neder on it, because he never intended to aser his nechosim on the other person, only if the person could come without an onus. So the Ran actually learns it could be onus ksas. He says that even these things which are little onusim are good enough to break it. On the other hand, Tosfos discusses that maybe these things would have to be big onusim. Well, because they're small in the sense, for example, that so the Ram says, let's say, for example, a son is sick. So how big an onus is that? Get a babysitter or something. Nevertheless, we still consider that to be an onus to the extent that now we can get out of the nether. So the river also, so maybe
boat instead of course.
Yeah, you take instead of going on foot, you take a boat. Yeah, it'll cost you a few dollars, but yeah. That's according to the Ram. On the other hand, according to Tosfos, Tosfos actually doesn't say so much a big onus. Tosfos says it has to be an unusual onus, something that would have been completely unexpected. As opposed to, Tosfos says, an onus we're going to discuss in the Gemara, the type of onus that is somewhat more common, those kinds of things we should expect, says Tosfos. He should have mentioned to begin with he should have said, I'll agree to the neder, but if one or another of these common kind of onsim happens, then I want to get out of it. If he didn't say that, then the implication is that he means that even if one of those things happen, the neder is still in effect, and only if there is a really unusual onus, only then would he get out of it. That's our choice, Miss Lemons.
He's the one we can get, and he's himself making the...
So again, according to the Ran, we're talking about that Shimon himself, the invitee, is the one who asked Reuven to make the neder, with the purpose that way, now Shimon can tell other people, I'm sorry, I can't make it to your party, I'm already under a neder to go to Reuven's. According to the Rosh, we said it might be that Shimon himself made the neder, that he will be also in Reuven's Nechassim.
Same reason, yeah.
So the Gemara tells a case which then we're going to relate back to the case of our Mishnah, also a case involving Oinsin. Hahu gavra da'afis zachvasa bebedina. There was a case of a person, he had a din Torah against somebody else. Now, often you have, a person says to Beis Din, I have certain proofs to back up my claim, however I don't have them available right now. I want you to give me a certain amount of time by which I have to come and bring those proofs, whether we're talking Adim, whether we're talking other shtaris, whatever it is exactly. So Beis Din will give him a certain amount of time. Now, in this particular case, the Ran explains that Beis Din had reason to think that he's not doing that sincerely, that during those next 30 days or whatever it is, he's really going to go try to dig up his rias, but rather that he's just using it in order to buy himself some time. So, what they told him is, so the Atis Zachvasa Bevedina. What he did was he had a shtar that would prove his case in Beis Din. They told him to put that shtar for deposit in Beis Din. The Atis meaning that he had based in bitoifus, he had based in grab a hold, zachvose, of something that would show his chus, that would bear out his case, bedina. So he has to put that shtar in escrow with bastin. But Omar, and he says, Eloy Asina ad flossin yomin, if I don't come within 30 days, libatun hani zachvosoi, then these zachoyas of mine should be bottled. Bastin will have the right to consider that these shtaris are bottle and I can't use them as proofs to back up my case in the future.
Who's making this condition?
So he himself made this condition. I mean, he probably did it under instructions from Bastin, but whatever. The point is that, again, because, so that's the thing. The Ran explains, if it had been a normal case where he's sincerely trying to find where Bastin realizes that he has to look at his files or whatever and find his shtaris, and he needs 30 days to do that, then they'll grant him the 30 days without any conditions. Here, Bastin had real reason to think that he's just asking for the 30 days just to stall for time. So he made this condition. So they told him, you give us those shtaris, we will hold on to them for you. And the deal was, if he doesn't come within 30 days, then Bastin has the right to consider those shtaris to be bottled. Well, itnis v'loy osa. So the Ran explains further on in the sugya, the point is, there's two ways of understanding it. One is to say that in effect, he's saying that after that time, I'll be moichel on those shtaris, and fine, a person can be moichel on whatever he wants. The other way is because he used the expression livatlon, there should be bottle, amounts to that he's almost saying, it's almost like he's admitting to begin with, that there's something wrong with these shtaris, and that they may be forged or whatever it is, so he's not outright saying that, but still, the fact that he says that he's willing to take that chance after 30 days, so maybe. Anyway. It is followed also. So there was an oinus, and in the end he didn't make it back after the 30 days. Omer Ravuna bottles achvase. So Ravuna says, well, the condition is in effect. His choyas a bottle. So now, Bastin has every right to consider, as though these shtaris are, again, either that he was moichel on them, or that he's in effect admitted that they're forged, and therefore the din Torah will go on as if those shtaris didn't exist. Omer le Rava onusu. But Rava says to Ravuna, how could you say that? Isn't it Rava, it says on the side over here. Rava was a Talmud of Rav Huna. Rava was from a later generation. So Rava or Rava says, how can you say that? Onusu, isn't it a case of oinus? He couldn't make it back in time, but onus rahmana patre. And we know that when a case of an oinus, the Torah patres him from any penalty. As the Pasuk says, you have in the case of a woman who was raped, that a naira marasa, where even though the rapist is chayav misa, she's not, because v'lanaro lo sasa davar, don't do anything against her. V'chitei maktola shayni, you're going to answer, okay, maybe it's different in a case of misa, you can't put a person to death because when it was a case of oinus, but maybe because the Torah has rachmanus on the person. And also the Rosh adds also that it's midi de osim imela, something that comes on its own. Like the person didn't do something, and then in this particular case, she didn't do anything that she should make herself be chayiv misa. It was a passive thing after all. So you're going to say that's different, but maybe in this case, we should hold them to account, even though it was an oinus. No. But we learn in our mission, in Nidrei Oinsin, we said where Reuven puts Shimon under a neder, or Shimon puts himself under a neder, whatever, that he's going to eat by Reuven, he became sick, or his son became sick, or the river was bigger than normal and prevented him from coming, and all of these are Nidrei Oinsin. So then, in that case, we see that even not by Nissa, we see that Oinsin, we allow Oinsin
To get in the way,
and to say so the same way over here. Now, why indeed is Rav Huna not concerned about that? So the Gemara is not going to give an answer from Rav Huna. We're going to go in and we're going to discuss, according to Rava, we're going to discuss how this fits with other Mishnayos that we find elsewhere in Shas, where it seems that an onus does, where we say that despite an onus, we do say that the thing is in effect. So we're going to ignore for now this case of the shtaris. So Rav Huna is not even giving an answer to Rava. So why not? So the Ran says the reason is because in our Mishnah, look, Reuven is saying, the Ran following his shita, that we're talking about that Reuven put Shimon under a neder by Shimon's request. So fine, he doesn't bother mentioning if there were oinsin, because what does he care? If it ends up that Shimon can't make it to his party, and because of that, Shimon can't have enough of his nechasim, no big deal. It's not a big deal enough to him that we should assume that he should have thought to mention Oinsin in the first place. But here in this case with the person and his shtaris, he should have thought to say, you know what, if I don't come back within 30 days, if unless there are Oinsin and I can't make it back within 30 days. The fact that he didn't say that point means that Ravona is saying, therefore his thing is forfeit. And Tosfos says also again that the fact that he says the word livatlon, implying in effect that he's starting to admit already that there's something wrong with these shtaris, otherwise why would he be so quick to say that the shtaris are bottle? So therefore that seems to imply that he himself is, Tosfos says, even if it's an onus deloshia, even if it's a completely unexpected onus, still, we would still say Hadas Bal Din Kamei Edim, and we would still say that he has to make sure to be back within 30 days. If not, he shouldn't have used the expression Livatlon Zachvase in the first place. He should have used a Loshen that doesn't imply that the shtaris are bottled. The fact that he uses that, Tosfos says that's reason enough that Rav Huna would say that even though there was an onus, and even though an unusual onus, is still reason enough. So the Gemara asks, Ula Rava, my shna mehoditzna. Now, according to Rava, why is this case different, or Rabba, whatever, why is this different than a case that we learn in Masechta Gittin? A husband says to his wife, Hareza gittich me'achrav im le'bosi mikan v'ad adribes chodesh. A husband says to his wife, here's your get, and it should be in effect, we learned this in Ksumas as well, actually, here's your get, and it should be in effect, it should take effect if I don't come back within 12 months. Now, a reason why a husband might want to do that, b'chlal, why is he giving his wife a get, is because either he has no children and doesn't want his wife to have to deal with Yibum, or the Rosh points out there could even be a case where he has children, but he doesn't want his wife to become an Aguna. Suppose he goes missing and they're never able to find his body or whatever, and his wife's going to be stuck. Whatever the case, the fact is he doesn't want to divorce her right now. He wants to stay married. So he says, if I don't come back within 12 months, then the get should take effect retroactively to now. So then if he dies within the 12 months, so there's a get. Then the get takes effect. Now, amai v'almenas itnis. Now, according to Rava, shouldn't we say that's a case of onus? He intended to come back at the end of the 12 months. He didn't expect to die within 12 months. So why are we saying that the get is in effect? According to Rava's logic, we should say onus rachmona patre, and we should say the get is not in effect. Now, Tosfos points out, by the way, let's forget about Rava a second. Bechlal, how are we going to understand how our Mishnah is talking about Nidre Onsin and saying that a neder can, or that an onus can override the neder, whereas over there we're saying that an onus does not override the tnai of the get? Even without Rava's opinion over here in the case of the shtaris, don't you have a contradiction between those two Mishnahs? Tosfos says no. When it comes to Nidorim, there's no question we want to be made. We have to be machmer in sfeikas of nedarim, but we started our perek by talking about abon nedarim itiru hachamim, that there are various kinds of nedarim that the hachamim explained to us on mutu even without a teres nedarim. So for that reason also, Tosfos says that's why the Gemara is not bringing our Mishnah as a contradiction against Rav Huna, or not bringing the Mishnah in Gittin rather as a proof for Rav Huna, but we could say there's a difference between the Dorin and other kinds of things. So again, why is it by the get that we're saying that even though he dies, nevertheless the get is in effect. Whereas here we're saying whereas in the case with the shtaris, that Rava is saying that because there was an onus, therefore his shtaris are still valid. The tnai that he made, in other words, over there, in the case of the get, we're saying that the tnai takes effect. The get is valid. On the other hand, here we're saying Rava is arguing the tnai does not take effect, and the shtaris that he deposited with Beis Din are still good shtaris. What's the difference? Rav Huna had said they're not good shtaris. Rava is arguing onus rachmana patra. The answer is Amri. The answer is Dilma shiny hosam. It might be different in the case of the get. Do he have a yod of the miss? Minwa alter have a gum of a yod of gitter. If he had known that he's going to die within that 12 months, he would have given the get right away. Because the whole point why he's making the tnai is because he expects that he's going to come back alive after 12 months, and he doesn't want to have to remarry her. And of course, if he's a kohen, he can't remarry her anyway. So therefore, he has every reason to make a tnai. But if he had known, if he had had Ruach HaKodesh to know that he's going to die within the 12 months, he just would have given her a get without any tnai. So therefore, we can say that when he died, then we can assume that that's what he would have wanted all along. So on the other hand, with this case of the shtaris over here, if he knew that there was going to be an onus, he wouldn't have said that the shtaris should be bottle after 30 days. So therefore, we have a reason to draw that distinction. The Gemara says, still, right now we're trying to figure out how, so we started, we're not asking any questions on Rav Huna. Again, Rav Huna is going to say Nidorim are a special case, we can be makeover with those, but in other cases in Halacha, we have to be Machmir, especially as Tosfos had said, because he used the expression Livatlam Schuse, which implies that he's willing to consider them Batul, which implies that even now he's already almost like starting to admit that there's something wrong with those shtaris. But so the question is, all the sugya is all going to be on Rava. Rava, who had said to Rav Huna in that case that the shtaris shouldn't be bottle. In other words, the fact that there was an onus means that the tnai did not take effect. What we see from other cases where the tnai takes effect despite an onus.
Also, I guess the whole purpose he's doing is
that she should not be an anagona. Exactly. That's the point. In other words, that's what the Gemara is saying. If he had known that he's going to die within those 12 months, he wouldn't have bothered with tonight, and he would have just said straight out, I'm giving you a gift. Yeah. So the Gemara says, okay, but how is it different than another case, which also we learned, in Ksuvas? A person says to, at the very beginning of Ksuvas, actually, we talk about all this in connection with the soul, and this is the question of what happens if there's an onus, at the very beginning of the Masechta, we talk about what if there's an onus that prevents them from getting married on the appropriate date that they had planned for the wedding. What happens as far as, is the husband still chayev to give his wife his onus? So we had a whole discussion over there about this matter of onus, and we brought this over there also. Now, who da omalahu? A person says to the edim of the get, if I don't come back within 30 days, my heavy gita, then this get should be a valid get. So again, he had given a get. He had the edim signed, and it hadn't yet been delivered to the wife. But he tells the edim, you hold on to the get for 30 days. If I don't come back within 30 days, then go and give it to her. Also, on the 30th day he came, Opaske Mabra, but he was stopped by the ferry. The ferry wasn't available for him to cross. The ferry was on the other side of the river. Yeah. So Amalavu, so he calls out to people on the other side of the river, Chazuda Soy, look, I've come. He thinks that that's enough, that he's back, and therefore the get shouldn't be valid. But Amashmul Loishme Masya. And Shmuel says that's not counted that he came, because to come would actually have to be that he was able to cross the river. So therefore, the fact is, if the ferry doesn't come by the end of the day and doesn't make it across, then the get is valid and they should give it to the wife. So again, we can ask Amai v'homenas onis. Now, isn't this also a case of onus? So again, according to Rava's logic, the get should not be chal. Why in that case are we saying that it is? The answer is Dilma Onsen de Migal Yashain. Maybe a very common kind of onus is different, because it's very common for Mabra Migli Onsen. The fact that you can't catch the ferry is a very obvious kind of onus, because it happens. You miss the ferry and now you have to wait for the next one. So therefore, he should have thought to say to begin with that the get will be in effect only if he doesn't make it back, provided that the ferries are running on schedule. So if he doesn't do that, then even though it was an onus, then therefore the get is in effect. On the other hand, on Mishnah, we're talking about the onsin are less common. So now, again, the Ran had called them onsin ktanim. There's small onsin in our Mishnah, in the sense that, for example, if his son is sick, that's a small onus, because fine, let him get a babysitter. But the fact is, it still is an unexpected onus. You don't expect to get sick. You don't expect your son to get sick. So therefore, and again, in the case of the shtaris, which was what we began the sugya with, where the person fully expected to come back within 30 days, and there was some kind of onus, we can say it was some kind of unexpected onus, where therefore we wouldn't expect him to have thought to mention it in the first place. So therefore, in the case of Rav Huna, in the case of the shtaris, then we wouldn't say that necessarily. So Rava can say that in that case he hasn't necessarily forfeited his rights. So the Rosh also points out, again, that there's a difference between, in the Mishnah, when we were talking about Ikvei Nahar, was talking about, again, like we said, the river was much larger than normal, and he couldn't get across it at all. Here we're talking about the river is the normal size, you just missed the ferry. So there's a difference between different kinds of Einsi. Okay, so fine. So there's no contradiction on Rava's opinion. We can understand Rava's opinion and have it fit with the various Mishnayos and Braises about other things of Einsi. But now the question is a more basic question. Ula Rav Huna. Now let's go back to Rav Huna, who says that in this case the person's shtaris are forfeit. Anyway, we have to ask, Mechti Asmachta. Isn't this an example of an Asmachta? An Asmachta is, so you have a matter in Dini Mamonis where a person is saying that based on such and such conditions, he will pay money or he will forfeit money where he never expected that to happen. So an example, actually, when we talk about asmachta is gambling, for example. When you're gambling or doing something like that, you're not expecting to, you expect to win. You wouldn't put in the money if you knew to begin with you're going to lose. So therefore, and such a thing is not a valid kinyan. The asmachta lekanya, and asmachta is not a valid kinyan, because to be machna something, you have to have complete das. You have to be very clear about what you're being machna or what you're being mosel. And here he's not. So how is that valid anyway? According to Rav Huna, forget about the matter of oinus or not. The fact is, there was an asmachta over here because to begin with, he gave his shtaris only on a condition, and that's not a valid kinyan. So the answer is shiny hocha the mitpasan zchosan. The difference is because he already gave his chosim to Bastin. Had it been, for example, that he says, I'm going to hold on to my shtaris. If within 30 days I don't come back to Bastin, I'm willing to forfeit those shtaris, then we would call that an asnachta, because then I'm going to take away something from him. But like this, where he already gave it to Bastin, and it's already in escrow in Bastin, then that's not considered an asnachta. So the Gemara asks, really, you're telling me that whenever it's already in Bastin, that it's not considered an asnachta? V'hatnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Baba Basra, if a person paid off part of his debt, the hishlish shtar, and now he doesn't want the shtar to be kept by the malva, because now the malva may claim the whole thing again. And for whatever reason, they don't want to write on the shtar that part of it was paid off, partially because then that wounds the malva's chances, because now in the future, if he wants to collect the rest of it, he needs a shvua. So instead, what they do is they deposit the shtar for safekeeping with a third party. But Omar, and the loiva says, if I don't pay him back within 30 days, 10 lois shtar, then give the malva back his shtar, and even though that means he may be able to falsely claim the entire debt again, I'm not worried about that. And now what happens? What happens if the 30 days pass and he hasn't paid? Rabbi Yossi says you give him the shtar because you follow the instructions. Rabbi Yehuda says you don't. But Rabbi Nachman tells us in the name of Rabbi Ba'avua, which in turn is in the name of Rab, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi, that asmachta kanya. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. This is the case of asmachta, and therefore he's not koina. I said that if I don't do it within 30 days, give him the shtar. That's an example of asmachta, and we say that's no good. Now, so the point is, in other words, so the Ran explains the question is that the question is Rav Huna is Rav's Talmud, so we would assume he follows his Rebbe's opinion. So if Rav is saying the halacha is asmachta leikanya, we should assume that Rav Huna holds the same way. Tosfos makes a different point also, that now the Gemara could obviously answer that Rav Huna disagrees, but given that the halacha in the end is like Rav Nachman, that asmachta leikanya, the Gemara would like to say that Rav Huna's opinion is going to be according to the final halacha, rather than having to say that in the end the halacha is not like Rav Huna. Because Rav Huna was an actual case in Beis Din, we would rather say that what he paskin ends up being according to the actual accepted halacha. So the answer is shiny hocha, the amuli vatlam schose. Again, it's different over here because he said his schosim should be bottle, and therefore again, so here you have the Ran discusses over here at length two possibilities. Is one that in effect he was moichel the one that in effect was moicho by saying that by saying Livatlon Schosi amounts to saying that he's moicho on anything that's in the shtar, and a mechila like that it can work even with asmachta. And then he goes on to discuss that different rishonim discuss about that, whether in fact that's the case, whether asmachta works by mechila. Then the Ran ends up saying another explanation, which we said before, is because since he says Livatlon Schosoi, that in effect he's admitting that there's something already wrong with these shtaris. There's a reason why he's so willing to say that they should be bottled, implying that even now we should assume there's something wrong with them. In any case, so once he did that, then that takes away the problem of asmachta. So the Gemara says, Behuchsa asmachta tanya. Now, the end of halacha is that an asmachta will be koina, but you have conditions on it. Number one, behudalai onis, only if there's no onis, only if he was fully able to fulfill what he should have done and he didn't, then we can say so. And then again, as the Ran said before, it doesn't even have to be onis gomer, as we said before. Even for example, that his son was sick, as in the example of our Mishnah, is still considered an onis. So only if there was no onis at all, furthermore, it has to be that the kinyan for this asmachta was done in a based in choshuv. Now there are a number of opinions of Rishonim what a based in choshuv is, and several of them are brought. The Ramah brings several of them in Shulchan Aruch. One is that it has to be. One is that the Ran over here says it has to be a based in that has the power to take away mammon from people. He uses the example where the Gemara says in Gittin, in connection with Prusbel, that you need a based in that can execute a Prusbel, would be like the based in of Rab Ami and Rab Asi in Eretz Yisrael. They know the halachas inside and out, and they're accepted as authorities by the whole Jewish people, so they have the ability to take money away from somebody and give it to somebody else, which is essentially what a Prusbel is. So by the same token, the Ram says over here, we'll be talking about that. And a smacht, after all, is a weak kind of kinyan. You want it to be strong, then it has to be in a strong based in like that. Then there are a few different other opinions of Rishonim. It means the Rosh, so the Rosh explains, it brings from Aram Rutenberg, and then Amor brings this as one of the opinions, that it means that the Dayanim or Tamar Chachamim, they know all the dinim of Asmachta, they know how it works, they know that it works only on the grounds of Hefter based in. There's another opinion that the Mordechai says it means the most important based in that city. And there's a couple of different opinions what a based in choshu means for that purpose. So there's different opinions of Rishonim that whether you need both of them, whether you need so we're talking about over here. So here in our Gemara, we didn't talk about, well, we did in the case of the get. We said that there's me'achshav. It says retroactively the get should take effect as of now. Now there is in fact an opinion of Rabbeinu Tam that says for an asmach to be koina, it has to not only be in a based in choshev, as we're saying over here, and no onus, but it also has to be that he said me'achshav. Then there are Rishonim who learn not like that. Even if he didn't say me'achshav, he says it should only be forfeit as of that time. For example, in our sugya over here, for example, he doesn't want his shtaris to be forfeit as of now. He wants them to be forfeit after 30 days, when he doesn't show up after 30 days. So there's no me'achshav. But even so, according to many Rishonim, as long as it was in a based in Choshev, that would work, but not if it was in a based in that's not Choshev. In Shulchan Aruch, by the way, mentions an interesting idea, actually, the Rambam brings it up first. He mentions the Chachmei Sfarad, the Chachamim of Spain, who came up with a way to make an asmachta work even when it's not based in Choshev. Essentially, what they did is, they would have, so let's say, for example, we have a case where Reuven wants to bind himself with a condition which would be considered a smacht al pi halacha. What we do is we have him write out a shtar to Shimon that says that he owes him $100. Then we have Shimon write out another shtar that says, as long as such and such and such is in effect, as long as these tsnoim are in effect, then you don't have to pay me $100. So again, the Ran discusses over here whether an asmachta works with mechila. So the Chachmei Sfarad obviously held that it does. So good. As long as the condition is in effect, then Shimon can't collect on that debt from Reuven. If it ever happens, the conditions change, then you have the shtar of Reuven, and after all, the shtar was written without any conditions, and therefore he can collect on it. So that way, it's a way of getting around the dinim of asmachta by having that there is a complete hischayvus on both sides. Interestingly, there are contemporary Rabbonim who discussed the question whether maybe they can use it. They always discuss every so often, every few years you have in the headlines these kinds of things where people are trying to come up
with halachic prenuptial agreements to make it that that a husband should be forced to give his wife a get if he doesn't want to, because after all, to force him to give a get off the halacha is very, very complicated. So you have every so often it comes up in the news and you find written in different places where different rabbanim try to come up with different ideas of a hischaivus that the husband takes on when they first get married. That will be that one of the methods that they've attempted to use in that connection is this matter of is this idea of the chachmei svarad about getting around the question of asmachta. So again, it's very complicated and not everybody agrees to it, but the idea has been floated to use that as a possible method.
Even if he says, well, I don't want to give the get. I change my mind.
So if a husband says that, that's the problem. There are a few cases we learned about in Ksubas where Alpi Alocha is required to give a get and Beis Din can even force him to. But in most cases, in many cases, it's not like that. For example, you have a case where just they're not getting along. That's not a valid reason, Alpi Alocha, to require him to give a get. It might be a menschlicha thing for him to do, but you can't actually force him, Alpi Alocha, to do it. And Alocha is you force a person to give a get, force a husband to give a get when it's not required, then it's impossible to get. That's what I'm saying. So they've come up over the years, different rabbanim have discussed different possibilities. Is there a way of getting the husband to agree to a certain hischaivus that no matter what, he's going to give the get? Should it come to that, and one of the methods that's been brought up in that connection is this idea of a chachmei svarad about making an asnachta work. Up until now, though, nobody's ever come up with an ironclad thing that will work in all cases, because again, after all, you do have this matter of get usa, which is possible, and you have to worry, you have to be able to work around that. So, yeah. Okay. Shkoyach, everyone.